Thank you and welcome in this beautiful Tuesday night. And as Sue mentioned, that we are going to be doing on decree and declaring, because it is your right as a child of God. My husband Alex, he's the studious one of the family. He knows the word inside and out. I'm just the moderator to keep him on tabs and keep him on track, that we're not going 3 hours later, because he can. He's full of the word. So anyways, I really feel during this season of time that what God is calling all of his children to do is really know how to walk in their authority. And I feel like for the past years, all of us have experienced hardship in one way or the other. And he's wanting us to rise up and to realize who we are. We are a child of the Most High, the Almighty One. And we're not only that, we're citizens of the kingdom. And it means with citizens comes rights. And we need to stand up and declare our rights. Just as we have beautiful rights as being Americans, and we stand up for those rights, and when people wrong us, we have a judicial system in place to help us to overcome. And so forth, in the kingdom of God, as citizens, we also have it, because there is the law. There are certain things written in the word that we are to declare and to decree. So basically, we're going to go over the what, why, when, and how, and what it means. What does it mean to declare and decree? By definition, declaring is an official order issued by a legal authority. Who is that legal authority? It's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's the God Most High sitting on his throne, high and lifted up. So it's an order. It's an order, something that the king decrees. Declaring is to say something, right? To say something in a knowledge possession of. We have certain possessions, certain legal rights that we have possession of, and we need to know how to stand up and use those possessions, especially when we come into a time and place of hardship, sickness, things are coming against us. We need to know how to rise up and to declare our legal rights. And we're also going to go over prayer. Prayer, by definition, is just a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God or the object of worship. And Jesus tells us, how do we pray? And he says, we pray to our Father in heaven. So in declaring and decreeing, Jesus spoke to all types of objects. Right, he declare and decree the things like the fig tree. He declare and decree to the storm to be still. He declare and decree to demons to come out, right? He cast out demons. He declare and decree over wine. He made water into wine, his first miracle. And he absolutely declare and decree over diseases.
So, I think many of you have, you all already know a lot of this, but it's not going to hurt hearing again. And we're believing that as we do, it's going to be the Spirit of God that comes forth in power and revelation. And so I'm excited about that. You guys? So Mark 11:22. So Jesus just got through. He was hungry. He was walking with his disciples, and he saw a fig tree that wasn't even in season yet. And as he walked by it, he saw that there was no figs on that tree. So Jesus didn't pray to the Father. He just spoke to the tree, and he said, he cursed it. He cursed the fig tree. And so nothing happened. Nothing that particular day, there was no signs of that fig tree being cursed. The following day, they're coming back, and Peter goes, oh my gosh, look at this fig tree. It's withered from the roots on up. It was like done in 24 hours. So the point is, Jesus spoke to the tree, cursed it, and there's actually, it's interesting, there's actually trees in Jerusalem right now on certain parts of the year when they should be blooming that don't bloom figs. And who knows, one of those trees is probably the one that Jesus cursed. So we're not teaching you how to curse. But Jesus actually, a different kind of prayer is actually speaking to that particular problem. So, and I'm convinced we don't take advantage of speaking to our mountains. We don't take advantage of speaking to our challenges, okay? And the thing is, Jesus is not gonna do it for us. We have to rise up and do it. So Mark 11:22-24, have faith in God constantly. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him in accordance with God's will. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer in accordance with God's will, and what is his will? His word. If you're not in the word, if you don't read it, and you don't, if you don't dwell on it, if it's not important to you, then guess what? You're not going to be speaking to the mountain. You're actually going to be taken for a ride by the enemy of your soul, and you're just going to be, you're just going to be going to and fro every wind, is the way Jesus described. Believe with confident trust that you have received them and they will be given to you. So the key here is to say. So most solemnly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, notice it doesn't say pray to the mountain, it says say. And then, but believes that what he says is going to take place. So it's there three times. And so what's the definition of say? To utter words as to convey an information. The main point here is to instruct. It's an instruction. It's command. And so, go ahead.
So basically, knowing the word is what you're going to be saying. Just as Jesus was out in the desert 40 days, he combated the Satan by the word, right? For it is written, he said that how many times? So who declares things? We have kings, presidents, those in authority. I'm sure we can all remember what JFK said, right? We can all remember who the first men who landed on the moon, what they said. There are certain things that are so powerful in history that they just stick into our brain. And likewise, the words of our Lord should just not only be in our mind, but in our heart and spirit. It should be just packed down so much that when you're in that area, that you can respond with the word of the Lord. So how do we walk in authority? How do we walk in victory? This is a question that I think all of us want to know. And it's a matter of walking through. It's just iron sharpens iron. I think as you walk through trials and tribulations, you get sharpened a lot more. So, and it also, I think, if you're a child of God, it's crucial that you know who you are in Christ, and we keep saying that. So we have to have our minds renewed by the word of the Lord. So basically, God might just tell you, just stick in Proverbs, stick in John, and just read it over and over till you really know it. And that you can just really perform it. And you'd be surprised when you come into situations that you are praying for other people, how the word will just start flowing out of you. Alex is really brilliant in knowing exactly where the word is. Like, I'll tell an inside joke. It's like before they had Google on the phones, you just had a cell phone. This is like years ago, and like, we had cell phones back in the 90s. Anyways, I'd be at a Bible study. I'm like, gosh, I know that scripture, but I don't know where it's at. So I'd be calling him on the phone going, where's that at, you know? I knew it, but I didn't know where it is. Not that that's, you know, all impairment to everybody, but it's kind of like just knowing the word. And he knows it. I know it my own way. Everybody knows the word in their own way. But we're meant to walk and be Christ on earth. I think that's what he really wants us to be, is a representative of who he is.
So this is so powerful. 1 John 4:17. By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. That's powerful stuff. As he is, so are we in this world. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 4:13. It says that we have the mind of Christ. Right now, don't ever say, I forgot. I can't remember. Don't say that. Why? Because you have the mind of Christ. And actually, an awesome brother in Christ who's like someone that used to go here. One time he didn't rebuke me, but I said, I forget. And he says, no, you don't, because you have the mind of Christ. That's good stuff. So we are Christ on earth. Why? Because Jesus said in Matthew 28, all authority has been given to me by the Father. Now go. When he said go, what does that mean? It's delegated power. And so we know that he's inside of us, right? But he's also ascended into the right hand of the Father. He's already done it. When he said it is finished, he completed everything. And with the atonement sacrifice that he did on the cross, he fulfilled everything. But on top of that, basically from the time that he was bruised, whipped, bled, and so on, to all the way to the to him resurrecting, he completed everything for us already. So that it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, I believe it's verse 3, that we have everything we'll ever need in life. And that's because he's already completed it. Now all we have to do is step into that. And so Jesus says, those that hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. In other words, he's looking for those that are hungry. He's looking for those that are they're ready to receive. They're seeking. Matthew 7, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. It's important to be diligent. It's important to be passionate about him and the purpose. There's a reason that you're here right now. You're not an accident. The things that you go through are not accidents. Why? Because Psalms 139 says every day has already been written about you in a book. So you are Christ on earth. I'm going to say it again. You are Christ on earth. So when you walk into a room, realize that Christ is going in there with you. The kingdom of God goes in that room. Like right now, the kingdom of God is speaking forth, okay? Even though it's us two, and you guys, many of you are familiar with us, it's really the Holy Spirit speaking. So don't take yourself for granted. Realize all things are possible through you. And so God wants us to talk to the atmosphere. So if you're challenged with problems, troubles, you know, whether it's physical, you start saying, God wants me well. God wants me well. As a matter of fact, let's say that. God wants me well. God wants me to prosper. And so 3 John 2 talks about why God wants you well. Beloved, above all things, I pray that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So Lord, I declare that my soul is prospering, and that I have excellence of soul. You start talking like Jesus did, you know? And so, go ahead, Catherine.
Well, we can, you know, what I always find very interesting is that it's so, at least for me, it's very easy to say, yeah, you know, I have the mind of Christ and Rahu, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But it's like, how deep do I believe that? How deep am I going to walk in that? We are human, and, you know, we do have our trials, but where am I drawing that borderline? Where am I going to turn? Am I going to turn to the flesh and the soul, or am I going to turn to the word of the Lord and say, hey, wait a minute. You know, we have to condition ourselves. We have to, it says that we are growing from glory to glory. We are becoming the mind of Christ. So if we are, every day we're growing. Every day we're learning. Every day we're saying, oh gosh, you know, I really messed up there, because I'm carrying the Christ within me. I'm carrying the Holy Spirit. And you get to the point where it just becomes a lifestyle for you. It's, you have those Christians who come to church and then they go out in the world for Monday through Saturday. But then it's kind of like having that intimate relationship with the Lord. There was an awesome book on Brother, does anybody know who that was by Brother? I should have brought it out. But anyways, he was a monk who wrote this, Brother Lawrence, he wrote this beautiful book about the intimate relationship with the Lord. And it becomes a way of life, because in order to believe this, it's easy to say, yeah, you know, I'm healed in Jesus' name, and yet we're still sick. I'm thinking, what does this look like, Lord, to really walk in total wholeness for the next years I have on this life? What does that look like, you know? How do I perceive that? How do I go deep in the Lord, and I'm asking him questions, because I can say all the words I want, but it says, in all your stuff, get wisdom. With all your wisdom, get understanding and knowledge, and that's with the word. You can simply say it, but you want to, like, chew on it. You want to understand it. And just like Alex says, a lot of this stuff we all know here, especially if you've been in the Lord for a while, it's all very, you know, you guys just know it. But to walk in it every day and to truly, truly believe it, to truly believe in the Lord that he's going to pull you through in every situation, to truly, truly believe that it is his desire that you walk in wholeness and health and great mental health, great soul health, great everything, so you can go out there and just be, you know, I mean, we should be to the point where we just walk and we're just radiating the Holy Spirit out, that we're going to be like Peter and the apostles, that we just walk along and people are healed. I really believe that's where the Lord wants the church. He wants everybody to stand up and say, hey, the enemy has taken a lot of ground from us. Yeah, he has. It's kind of like a tug of war, but God is saying, rise up, church, walk in this authority. Walk in knowing who you truly are. Yes, the word says, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Do I really believe that? I do. Do I see it all the time? I don't. And I come running away going, what does this look like, Lord? What, you know, I go back and say, what? Why? Maybe, and the Lord teaches me through that. And so that's where he wants us, not only just declaring with our words, but really gnawing on it, really seeking wisdom for God, really seeking his understanding of what this means. How does this look like? It says, we are not to toil. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, seriously, I sit there and walk through the day and go, Lord, well, what does that look like, not to toil? I mean, I don't know about you, but I toil. I'm certainly a Martha in many areas, but what does that look like? What does it look like to walk in perfect health? What does it look like to have no offense? Jesus walked through crowds. People are spitting at him, yelling at him. Yeah, he just walks through because he has no offense in him. The enemy can't penetrate him because he has no offense there. And I sit there and marvel, go, wow, Lord, what does that look like when I can just walk through anything, any situation, people slamming me, calling me things, or you know, wrong me, taking the parking space that I've been waiting for 10 minutes for at Costco. You know, what does that look like? Seriously, what does that look like? How do I walk in that? And it's precept upon precept. It's knowing when the Holy Spirit, He's not only our teacher, He's our comforter, He's our teacher, and He's our corrector, right? And it's having that discernment, knowing the voice of the Lord, because it says, my sheep hears my voice and follows after me. So what are we choosing? What are we choosing? Are we choosing God's voice, which is the word that I am healed in Jesus' name? So there's just so much more. He wants us to go deeper. He wants us to really, really just understand and to start declaring what He has for us. Why don't you do Proverbs 18?
So Jesus says, this is one of the most, if anything, tonight, this is the key point. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's rattling in your mind, in your soul, and what you've been meditating on eventually is going to come out of your mouth. So we've got to realize that. I forget the amount of I've heard that there's like hundreds or thousands of thoughts that we have in our minds, like every minute. They've done scientific, so that's why we have to take every thought captive. We have to, and we during the day or the week or so, we leak out things that are good, meaning we need to have our mind renewed on a daily basis. So,
if I can interject something here, this is a really, really strong scripture, and I know all of us, like, you know, out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks, and we understand it, we quote it, we say it, but do we really engage in that intentionally 24/7? Do we really intentionally engage with those words? And you have to get to the point where when somebody says something to you, are you thinking happy thoughts or negative thoughts? And how are you going to respond to that? You have to just train yourself as a warrior in the Lord Jesus Christ to understand what's in your soul, because whatever is resonating in your heart, man, it's going to come out. Your boss does something to you. What's your first thought? What's your first thought that you're going to say to somebody else? Are you going to be gossiping in a negative way? Or are you going to be the mediator, say, well, he might be having a bad day. Let's give him grace. Let's go on. You never know what other people are going through, that they might say something negative to you. And it might be just they need that respond of the love of the Lord to be responded back. This is like so important. And I think God wants us to really sharpen and polish up our brass on this one. It's easy to sit there and say, yeah, you know, my armor is on, my heart is good, my soul is good, and yet, you know, we just get out the doors of church and we're speaking negative thoughts. Like, oh, I'll never pay my bills, or, you know, that person, my neighbor's just always loud, he doesn't like me, you know, that dog's always barking. I mean, you gotta catch yourself. Catch your thoughts. It says to bring every thought into captivity. Why? Because we have this way of our thoughts is kind of dictating our soul and our spirit. But we got to get to the point where our spirit is dictating everything else, because our spirit needs to be aligned with God's Holy Spirit.
So this is not in your notes, but I would say the two most powerful confessions you can make is I am. The second is I have. So, for the most part, I'm not here to chastise you, but don't say never, you know, unless you're renouncing something. It's probably not a good thing to just say. So your words are powerful, okay? My words are powerful. And so when you see a situation that is negative, hold back from speaking death over that situation. Just practically, if you're sick, okay, don't go telling the world about you being sick, because a lot of people do that just to gain attention and empathy. Don't go blasting on Facebook, hey, you know, because the thing about it is that all you need is agreement with one person. That's all you need. The other thing is, I did a study on Jesus' commands, or actually his healing, and in the Gospels. Any one of you guys can do this. And I thought, gosh, how long were his prayers? So if you do a study over his whenever he started teaching or preaching, two things would happen. Demons would manifest, and people that need healing would come forth. So it would either be deliverance of demons, dealing with the devils, and he never prayed to the Father, he spoke right to the demons, and or he would command healing in that body. And a lot of times he never even touched them. His longest prayer was the guy in the gurney with the four guys bringing him down through the roof. That prayer, or that if you do the amount of words that he spoke, his longest ones was about 20 words. So dealing with the demonic or healing, supernatural, he just, it was about 15 seconds, 15 to 30 seconds. All you have to do is read the words. A lot of times it was just one word, and it was probably go or leave, and they're gone. So there's power in our words, right? And so, let's see. Basically, this is, so going back to Mark 11, 22, 24, there's a great book written by a man named Kenneth Hagin. And he wrote, and you can actually download this for free on the web. He wrote a book called You Can Have What You Say, and it's based on Mark 11, 22 to 24, because of what Jesus says. So there's another preacher says, you're hung by your tongue. You're hung by your tongue. So you're either speaking life or you're speaking death, your situation. So Proverbs 18, 21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So it's not discouraging you from not speaking. It's encouraging you, but it's saying, watch out for the words that you're speaking out. So we're talking about the kingdom here. So the kingdom is a kingdom of words, and it's voice activated, as you've well heard through a couple other people, or quite a few people. It's voice activated. So this thing, we can spend weeks on talking about this, but if you think about Genesis and how God created everything, the universe, the galaxies, everything through his words, and then when you go to the New Testament and Jesus delegating that power to us, it hasn't changed. So as he is, so are you in this world. So the thing is that we need to know that. We need to realize that. We need to remind ourselves that we are, there's tremendous power inside of us. And a lot of that, though, is what you feed on during the week.
Okay, so the big question is when to decree. You want to go back to that?
No, let's read this too.
Why don't you read that?
Okay, so I was talking about Genesis 1. So the entire God starts, and in the beginning, he creates. So he's chapter 1 and 2. Let us make, especially chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. You've heard of the kingdom of God. Jesus and John the Baptist, that was their main message in the gospel, was preaching the kingdom. Even after Jesus resurrected from the dead, he still spoke the kingdom. So part of the kingdom is, it means the king's domain, dominion, power. That's what God wants us to walk in. So Genesis 1, 26 to 28 is part of the message of the kingdom. Let us make man in our image. You were created in his image, in his likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, which we don't really have that much of here in Southern California. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male, female. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. There's that prospering. 3 John 2, and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over basically everything. So that's God's delegated. God's already all-powerful, omniscient. It says that he holds the galaxies in his hand, if you can only picture that. And so, by the way, there's more than one sun. There's actually a sun that was 10 to 100 times the sun that there is right now. And I recently learned that. It was like, and so the things, by the way, he created in Genesis 1, he's never had to recreate it. So he started out with two people, Adam and Eve. Now we have 7.5 billion people on this globe. He's never had to go back and recreate animals, vegetation, man. So that word is so powerful, and that word is inside of us. That power is inside of us.
So when do we decree? This is real simple. Anytime. Anytime you need to decree God's word, you start decreeing it. Anytime, that's about it. Anytime, it's a good time to declare God's decree. And it should become just a habit that you just decree God's word throughout the day. You know, you're in different situations, whether they're good or bad, you just declare God's word. And we'll next week, we're gonna go on to more the power of the tongue. Because I know we have work with our kids, and most of us are just not walking around 24/7 speaking God's word. We're more or less speaking with the power of our tongues. We're going to be touching on that because that's very powerful too. But why decree and declare? Basically, we got to come back to it and say it's our right and it's our privilege. And we have to get that so packed down into us and so believing it that we need to stand up a little bit straighter with our arms and legs a little bit stronger, knowing who we are in Christ. And it says in Psalms, let the faithful rejoice that he honors them. Let them sing for joy as they lie on their beds. Let the praises of God be in their mouths and the sharp sword in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on peoples, to bind their kings with shackles and their leaders with iron chains, to execute judgment written against them. This is the glorious privilege of his faithful ones. That's pretty powerful. I know Wes and Lynn did a whole teaching on singing the word, which is so awesomely powerful also too. And this is how you're faithful and you're rejoicing in the Lord. And through that, there's this... I am just so excited about the day I get to heaven and realize how much was done on my behalf because of what I spoke out, because of what I sang out, what I believed in, because I believe there's so much stuff that's going on backstage that I don't ever see. And it's going to be a glorious thing to see how much God really does for us. So go ahead.
So we missed one note here. Oh. Also, Job 22:20, it's the copies there out of... Okay. You will declare a thing and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. So this whole teaching connects to a lot of what's been taught by Superdulis for months here. So a lot of this is actually connected. You will pronounce something to be, and he will make it so. That's another translation. You will pronounce something to be, there it is, saying, and he will make it so. Jesus spoke to the storm, peace, be still, and immediately it was still. Immediately, that's what the gospel says. So we go, well, that's Jesus, that's not us. Be challenged, you know, it is, you are Christ on earth. You have the mind of Christ. And so I think also it's, we walk with either ignorance, which God doesn't want us to be ignorant about who we are. God would love, if you had children and you see them taking advantage of what you've taught them, you're a happy parent, right? Versus ones that are ignorant of or can't see what you've taught them. And so God wants us to walk in the power of Christ. John 14:12 says that even Jesus, red letter words, he says that those that come after me are going to do greater signs than me. God's not bothered or troubled about anyone doing greater signs. Now, he rose people from the dead. I mean, I've never done that. You know, never, ever. I want to. I mean, so we're commanded in Matthew 10:7-8. You want to hear the gospel in two verses. It says, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and cleanse lepers. That is the gospel in two verses. So do you want to know what God's given you authority to do? Those two verses. And so, and the reason is he wants to free people. He wants to liberate people. He wants to bring that aroma of salvation, healing, and deliverance on this earth through his own. Not the frozen chosen, but his own. That's us. And so just that Psalms 149, it's so powerful. To execute vengeance on the nations, to bind the kings, it's under and to execute the judgment written against them. This is the glorious privilege of all his faithful one. So are you a faithful one? Mm-hmm. You are, right? If you're here, you know, I'm assuming you're hungry. So he wants us to walk and do what Jesus says. So we're going to start bringing it all together. So how? Okay. Do you want to do it?
Go ahead. You can start.
So how do we decree and declare? Obviously, we know about prayer, talking to God, being intentional. So we're talking about something even beyond prayer, which is actually a privilege that we have, and that's speaking the word. It's saying to the problems, the challenges that are in your life. So speak to your mountain, talk to it, okay? If the enemy plants something and you're feeling like a negative thought because of some report that you've had, Isaiah 53:1 says, whose report have you believed? That's challenging stuff. And so persevere. God is faithful, Hebrews 10:23. Let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. And so this is actually pretty awesome, but we believe in Christianity. Christianity, one of the meanings of Christianity is the great profession or the great confession. And so realize that it's a lot of it. If you go to Romans chapter 10, it says, I believe it's Romans 10:9. It says, if we confess God with our heart, with our mouth, and believe God in our heart, we shall be saved. And so the way the entrance, if the entrance to the kingdom is through our confession of Jesus, I believe you are Lord and Savior, that's from A to Z. It's always going to be through our words. In other words, the power is through our words.
So in wrapping it up right now, is this, how do you declare and decree? It's you pray. We all know how to pray to our Father in heaven. We speak the word. We speak and talk to your mountain. And we preserve God as faithful. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful. So everything that God has written down, he's faithful to perform his word. His word will not come back void. It's just getting that belief and in knowing who your God is. So we just want to encourage you tonight to take hold of a message that can be so simplistic, but yet so rather deep. It goes deep because he really wants us to walk in it day in and day out, hour by hour. And it doesn't mean declaring everything and speaking through it, but being intentional with our thoughts and our actions and our voices of how we're treating people around us, how we're thinking. You know, it's like I came back to take every thought captive, because like Alex says, if we receive a bad report, then where does the mind go? The mind goes to that bad report, this, and this. It goes down the bunny trail. And sometimes I think we get so far down the rabbit hole, we don't know how to get ourselves back up. But it's for the Lord and through his Christ people. And what I want to encourage you tonight, all of you are here for prayer. There are times when we get so overwhelmed with life through reports that we have or through situations. It is life. But it's a good time to rely on the body of Christ. There was a season when we were here all the time because we were so beaten down that a lot of times you don't even have the strength to pray for yourself. But there is hope because there's other people in the body of Christ that will pray for you. So anyways, in wrapping up, we thank you for your time.
Next week, we're going to talk about the power of the tongue.
Yeah,
so
that's really
important.
You
won't want to miss that. There's going to be some incredible things said.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for everyone.